Deuteronomy, and I'd like you to turn to the first two verses of our Torah portion. Deuteronomy 7, 12 and 13. In Deuteronomy 7, remember what's happening. The children of Israel are about to go into the land after such a long time. And this is what God says to them as they're about to enter the promised land. And because you listen to these rules and do keep them and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers. Verse 13, he will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock in the land that he swore to your fathers to give you. Now, this is really important. These verses are really, really important as we get into the Torah portion today. Because, again, they were right about to go into the land that they were promised for hundreds of years, and they're finally able to go in. But it wasn't just that God was promising them to go into the land. He was also promising them in these verses success in the land, freedom, peace from their enemies, and a future in the land. But the key in all of that, and that's what I want to talk about today, is it all had to be done God's way. It all had to be done, quote unquote, the right way. It couldn't be done their way. It had to be done God's way if there was going to be success in the land. Now, everybody wants good things. Everybody wants success and health and peace and, you know, the ability to go and do what you need to do in your life. But even as believers sometimes, many times, we kind of want to do it our way, don't we, instead of doing it God's way. We kind of want to do it our way instead of doing it God's way. We want to pursue our lives. We want to pursue the things of this world our way, what we think is best, or even as believers, the way we think God would want us to do it, rather than going to the source and saying, Lord, what is the right way? What is your way? What do you say about how I'm supposed to go and walk out my days? Now, I mentioned this last night, and I'll mention it today. You know, for those of you that are on social media, and I know most of you are, and you follow all these different things, there's a satirical site that I follow. It's called the Babylon Bee. Have anybody heard of the Babylon Bee? Okay, the Babylon Bee has got a lot of great, funny things. Of course, it's not real news. It's fake, but it is really funny. And this week, the Babylon Bee, one of their things was a post, and the post said this, Bible briefly consulted to see if it supports already formed opinion. So many times we have our opinion already formed. We have our decisions already made, and we might flip to the Bible just to make sure it confirms what we want, the way we want to do it, right? But that's the opposite of how we're supposed to do it. Now listen to this key verse. This is going to be our key verse today, Deuteronomy 7, 22. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you, little by little. You may not make an end to them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. That's a really interesting verse. The land was right in front of them. The land, they were ready to go into the land. The only problem was there was a few people in the land still, right? The Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hevites, and Jebusites. I think I got all the ites down, right? All those pagan nations. And in order to go in and conquer the land, they had to get rid of the people, right? But the way that God said to do it, these pagan peoples that had been in there doing all manner of wicked things, but the way to do it, God says in Deuteronomy 7:22, is little by little by little. Now, that's God's way. What would have been the children of Israel way or our way? Well, it probably would have been something like, well, let's just all go in there at once and take them all out. We don't want them in there. They're pesky. They're going to get us in the way of things. Let's just go in there right away and take everything we want in the land, right? I'm sure some of them said that. And I'm sure some of them said, well, you know what? Let's just not do anything. God's going to fight the battles for us. He's just going to go in and take all the people out, and then we'll just kind of walk right in and have everything we want, right? I'm sure there was all these variations of what do we do? What's the best thing to do? What should the successful thing be to do? We always wonder what our way is going to be rather than wondering what God's way is, which was 7:22. But in all of our lives, as believers, we have all these grand plans, don't we? I know I had a lot of grand plans 20 and 30 years ago. I still have plans today, but many of those grand plans didn't work out like I thought they were going to work out. And maybe a lot of them I tried to do it my way instead of doing it God's way. But the point is, you have all these things in your life, all these decisions to make, and all these grand plans and about how to take the land, just like the children of Israel. How am I going to go in and take the land or take charge of my life or do all these things? All these questions that we have. What are we going to do when we grow up, right? Who are we going to marry? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do for retirement? All of these decisions, all these big decisions to make, how are we going to do them? We can either do them our way or we can do them God's way, which is the right way. And there's a quote that I wanted to give, and it's from a very influential pastor. His name is Warren Wiersbe, and he died just recently. But he wrote one of the quintessential Bible commentaries. It's a commentary on the entire Bible. He's considered like the pastor's pastor kind of person. And a lot of pastors and rabbis will look to him for a lot of practical, good insights. Well, this is what he says in his commentary right when we get to this section of Deuteronomy. He says, we must do things, quote, in the right way, at the right time, for the right reason, which is the glory of God, end quote. The way that our God is glorified is when we do things His way, not when we do things our way. The way our God is glorified is when we choose His path for us and walk in it, when we choose His timing of how to do things in our life, and when we choose His will over our will. Only then can we do things the right way. Amen? All right, let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. I like the way that Nehemiah says these things. Now, these things are said throughout the Torah, throughout the Bible, and also says it here in Nehemiah. When the children of Israel, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness for 40 years, they weren't just kind of wandering and meandering around, wondering, well, which way is the best way? Oh, let's go over here. I'm sure there was a lot of opinions about how to get to the promised land, about how to go through the desert. Nehemiah 9:12 says this, by a pillar of cloud you led them, God led them, in the day, and by a pillar of fire in the night, to light for them the way that they should go. So God was directing them. He was directing them with fire. He was directing them with the cloud. The point is, He was directing them. They weren't directing themselves. Now, I wonder if going through the wilderness for 40 years, they might have said to themselves as they're going through the wilderness, boy, I feel like I've been here before, right? I feel like I've seen that before. I feel like that rock or whatever is familiar. Maybe I was there six months ago. Maybe they were there 3 years ago. I don't know. But the point is, the journey that they took was not a straight journey, right? We all know that. If they took a straight journey through the wilderness and never would circle back, they would have made it to the promised land in like 14 days. But it took 40 years. So 14 days versus 40 years. There's a lot of circling back. There's a lot of going around in circles. There's a lot of meandering around, not in a straight line, that happened. They were going back and forth for 40 years. It was not the most efficient route. But it's the route that God had them to take. Okay, now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, part of our Torah portion today. Remember, we want to do things God's way, the right way, not our way. But it's strange because it wasn't the most efficient way. But what does Deuteronomy 8, 2 say? And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So they had to go through 40 years, not 14 days, to learn things, to go through things, to grow, to make mistakes, to have experiences. All of it was to teach them. All of it was to show them the path that God had for them. It wasn't the most straight route, but it was the route that God had for them. And that's our first slide today. Our first point is, In the whole idea of doing things the right way, we have to seek God's path for our lives. That's the first point today. seeking God's path for our life. Do you want to do things the right way? What is the right way? Well, the right way is God's way. And sometimes he's not going to lead you to the most to the places you think he'd lead you. Sometimes he's not going to lead you in a straight line. Sometimes he's not going to show you all the fun places you want to go. Sometimes the stops along the way are not so fun. Sometimes they're not so pleasant. Sometimes they're downright hard and difficult. But it is the path that he has for you. And he has you walk through that path or around like that on the path to teach you things, to work things out, problems, issues, your character, all these things. The problem is we're rational thinking people. We want it the right way. We want it the straight way. But that's not the right way all the time in our lives. It's not always the right way to do it like that. And people will tell you, well, you're not doing it the right way. You should do it this way. It's more efficient, or it's quicker, or it's easier. That promotion is, this is the way to do it. This is the way to raise your kids. This is the way to, you know what? You've got to seek the Lord for his path, for his direction for you. That's the right way. The right direction is not a how. You know, we always want these self-help things. Okay, do this, and do this, and you're going to get all this health and all this wealth and all this happiness. But life is not a self-help couple of steps. Life is not how. It's a where. And the where is with God. The where is to go to his word. The where is to seek him out, his path for your life. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. We've got to figure out what's God's way for us and then walk in it, whatever way that is. Proverbs 3, 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It doesn't say, think about him sometimes, occasionally consult the Bible and pray to God, and figure out how to go about your path. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight, make straight your paths. All God wants is our acknowledgement. All God wants is for us to follow after him. He doesn't want us to figure it all out. But yet we still try to figure it all out, don't we? He tells Israel over and over, I don't need you to figure it all out. I want your heart. I want you to love me with all of your heart, strength, soul, and mind. I want you to keep these things because you love me. I'll take care of the rest. Give me your heart. That's what he tells Israel, and that's what he tells us today. Go to Proverbs 23, verse 26 now. God is telling, now this is the same God throughout the whole Bible. It's the same God that talks to them at Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, throughout the wilderness in Israel, and it's the same God that talks to us today. And he says in Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Not go about your way. Let your eyes observe my ways as you love me, as you trust me, as you seek after me. He will show you the path and direction. Okay, now go back to Deuteronomy 7:22, our key verse. So, okay, we got to go in God's way, not our way. Sometimes we got to follow that kind of roundabout path because maybe God has us on those paths. Deuteronomy 7:22, the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You may not make an end to them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. The Lord knew that Israel could not handle going in the land right away and just taking it. He knew it would be a complete disaster. They had to subdue it little by little by little. What if they had gone in and just taken the land and just got everything they wanted right away? It would have been a disaster, right? They would have become too proud. They were already in danger of becoming too proud and having that problem, which they did, which we all do. But their hearts would become too proud. They wouldn't learn how to properly cultivate the land. Remember, they were used to wandering through a desert and being slaves, not being cultivators of their own destiny and their own land, of having their families live in peace, of, you know, creating vineyards and houses and all these things. They never had that before. So they had to learn it little by little by little. Little by little was how they would build their faith, how they would learn to trust in God more. Turn with me to Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. You know, We can apply all this to our lives. Little by little, God is instructing you, guiding you, directing you, showing you things. If he just kind of threw you in the ring and said, okay, time to fight or time to do this, you'd be like, what do I do? But little by little, he's instructing us, guiding us, showing us his ways and showing us how to live for him. Now, Psalm 32, 8 and 9 is interesting two verses. God says, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And then in verse 9, he says this, be not like the horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Now, it's interesting that God puts verse 9 in there, and he uses a horse and a mule. What does the horse want to do? The horse wants to plow ahead. The horse wants to go. The horse wants just to run, just jump right into it. What does the mule want to do? Mule wants to stay back, chill out, kind of wait for things to happen, allow other things to occur, and then maybe timidly go in. Now, first question, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to answer it, but I want you to think about it. Which animal are you? Are you like the horse in your life, or are you like the mule in your life? Now, everybody's either usually a horse or a mule kind of analogy. So think about that. But here's the thing. God doesn't want us to be like the horse rushing ahead of him, and God doesn't want us to be like the mule lagging behind him. God wants us to be with him. There are going to be seasons of your life where he's going to tell you to go, okay? Do little horse-like stuff, you know, go ahead. And there's going to be times in his life he's going to tell you to pull back like a mule. But we have to wait and go with God. There's different seasons. We have to be discerning to know which season we're in. And we have to be discerning with the Lord. But there are seasons of our life. Now turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. People know these verses very well, but it's very apropos for what we're talking about. The seasons of our life. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything there's a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. Our problem is, we always want to just have one season. And what's that season we all want to have? Good season. Success season. Mountaintop upon mountaintop. You know, everything we want. Everything is going great. You know, when those times are happening in my life, it's like, oh, this is so nice. And then we get so upset when we stop having those experiences, right? Because life is not a series of mountaintops. Somebody said something once, mountaintops are great, but the air is so thin on the mountaintop, you can't breathe on the mountaintop. You have to come back down, okay? God gives us those mountaintop experiences where everything is going right. It's like the heavens open up and everything's wonderful, but we don't live in that all the time. We live in all the seasons of our life, the seasons of running, the seasons of pulling back. The key is we've got to go with God in his perfect seasons for us and his perfect timing. That's the second point today. In the quest to do the right thing, which is God's way, the right way, we have to trust God's perfect timing for our lives. We can't trust our own timing. We got to trust his timing of all the seasons of our lives. Sometimes God's going to tell you to go and you need to run. Sometimes God's going to tell you to stop and you need to stop. The key is to know when to do what, right? The key is to know when the pillar of cloud and fire comes and we're supposed to follow, and when it sets and we're supposed to sit. That's the key. But the key is moving with God, not moving ahead of God, not moving behind God, but moving with God. Okay. So perfect direction, a perfect timing. And this is the other thing. God's will. It's God's will that we need to follow after, right? And I'm going to make a statement here. It's God's will, it's his will that you and that I, it's God's will that we fulfill our calling in life to his glory. I'm going to say that again. It's God's will that you fulfill your calling to his glory. This isn't a prosperity message. We all have a calling on our life. You have a calling to be this or to be that or to do this or to do that. We've got to figure that out. It's God's will that we figure that out and fulfill our calling to his glory. Remember that quote from Warren Wiersbe. We've got to figure it out. It's really a life is really a two-step process if you really break it down. I like to break things down into real simple things. Step one in the two-step process of life is to begin a personal relationship with Yeshua, is to know God in a personal way, is to get to that point to surrender to God. Okay, we talk about that a lot. But that's the first step. But step two, which is the rest of your life, is a step we call sanctification. It's a step of growing. It's a step of learning. It's a step of letting God work out his will as we fulfill our calling for his glory. That's the process of sanctification. And that process continues on the rest of your life. He wants to fulfill his purposes. Now, when we get those two steps down, knowing God in a personal way and growing in God, then verses like Romans 8:28 make sense. Turn with me to Romans 8:28. People read Romans 8:28 and they think prosperity stuff. But when you read Romans 8:28 with those two steps in mind, it makes sense. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Now that takes on a different meaning in the light of eternity, in the light of knowing God in a personal way and growing and walking in the process of sanctification with him. His will is for our good. His will is for us to fulfill our calling and our purposes for his glory, not our glory, for his glory as participants in the kingdom of God. Remember, you're not always going on the direct route, but it's for your good. It's to work things out in your life. You're not always going the fastest way possible to the direction for your lives, but it's for your good to work things out in your life. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Verse 2, such a key verse that we need to talk about. Romans 12:2. In light of all this, what does the Lord tell us? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. We're talking about the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. God wants what is good and acceptable and perfect in your life as you're following his will, as you're seeking his purposes for your life, your calling for his glory. And God wants that for your life. That's the third point here about God's will. God's will is best for you. Your will, which you may think is the greatest thing and, oh, this is the pathway to success, is not the best for you. God's will is best for you. As believers, as followers of Yeshua, people that want to do things the right way, we have to know that God's will is best for us. Not anything anybody tells you, not any advice you can get from TV, from friends, even from family. God's will is best for you. Israel was told not to conform to the nations around them. They were told to renew their minds, like Romans 12:2 says. Israel was told to renew their minds by seeking God with their whole heart, following his ways, following the Torah, the perfect standard. Now we know, of course, because of sin condition of humankind, that they fell short of that mark, right? When they fell short of that mark, God said, I got this covered. Don't worry about it. We're going to figure out a way. And the way was Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. He was going to take that perfect standard of holiness and he was going to put it in our hearts. And he did that through one man and through one purpose, and it was Yeshua. Through Yeshua the Messiah, through him dying for our sins, through his shed blood, he took on our sins, he took away our sins from us, and through Yeshua, Romans 12:2, we are renewed. Through Yeshua, we go even further in that sanctification. We find our calling. We find our direction. We find our path and we find our purpose. We find God's will, which is best for us in our lives. Now turn one more scripture today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We want to know the right way? The right way is through Yeshua. The right way is to walk with him, to be guided by the Lord, to let him show you his will. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Because we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God doesn't want you to just stay right where you are in step one, I've accepted the Lord, or I'm going to go about my way. No, God wants you to move and walk in them, walk in his ways, walk in the good works that he has prepared for you, walk in your purposes, walk for his will for your life. That and only that is the right way. So if anybody comes to you and says, well, I know the right way for your life, all you got to do is read this book. Or I know the right way for your life, all you got to do is go check out this website or follow this person on Instagram or do this. It's not going to work. It's not going to be the right way. The right way is God's way. And what God will have you do on the path of your life to fulfill your purpose for his glory is he may take you through wilderness upon wilderness upon wilderness. He may take you through many valleys. And what happens when we go through a valley? We always say to ourselves, oh, I screwed something up. Or maybe God screwed something up because I shouldn't be in this valley. No, maybe you should be in this valley for this time of your life. Maybe it's to grow you. Maybe it's to show you to rely on him more. Just like Israel, walking around in a wilderness for 40 years. The shoes didn't, you know, wear out. The clothes didn't wear out. Literally water pouring from rocks to drink, for them to drink. Manna falling from heaven for them to eat. Supernaturally. As you go through whatever valley, whatever wilderness, whatever situation, good or bad in your life, the spiritual manna is going to fall down. The spiritual bread of life is going to come down. The living water is going to pour out for you. All you have to do is do it the right way, God's way. All you have to do is tap into the Lord. Be praying, read your Bible, seek counsel from godly people. Come and enjoy fellowship and worship. That's the right way. The right way is to get right with God and let him lead you through whatever path he has for you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, show us the right way. We all want to do things the right way, but Lord, that is not our way, and it's not our friend's way, and it's not the person on whatever TV show we like's way. Lord, it's your way. Help us to remember that. Help us to follow after you. Help us to seek your face in prayer, to seek your face in your word, to seek godly counsel and fellowship. And only then, Lord God, I think you'll start to reveal to us the right way to walk, the right way to think, the right way to have our minds renewed, the right way to know your will and to walk it out for your glory. Lord, we pray that you would just work out things and situations in our lives. And as we walk through this darkness of the world today, Lord God, show us the right way. Show us your way, Lord God. We thank you. We cling to that, Lord God. We know, Lord, you're there and that you are leading us even today. We thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together.